Okay. Yes, one down, yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. I'd like to call the Library Commission meeting of September 2nd, 2021 to order. Will the recording secretary please take the roll call?
Vice Chair Bent.
Here.
Chair Granito.
Here.
Commissioner Hernandez.
Here.
Commissioner Tam.
Okay, thank you for that. I wanted to make a quick comment before we moved on with the agenda. I wanted to thank everybody for being here. It's so nice to see everybody in this location. Not that I didn't enjoy meeting everybody via Zoom, but it's nice to do the city's business and the library's business back here at the City Hall. We'll go ahead and have the Pledge of Allegiance. What I decided to do is something a little bit different. Usually Director Lixie has been leading us with the Pledge of Allegiance, but I want to give the opportunity for all the commissioners to honor our nation and to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So today, Vice Chair Bent, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Sure. In honor of the greatest nation in the history of the world, please stand, face the flag, put your right hand on your heart. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Vice Chair Bent. Okay, what we'll move to now is the approval of the minutes, which everyone should have a copy of. I'll give you a second to peruse the minutes if you haven't done so yet, and then we can entertain a motion concerning the approval of the minutes.
Chair Granito, I did have one comment on the minutes.
Okay. Commissioner Kim?
Under Assistant Director's report, the third paragraph, I just wanted to ask, is that not the Genealogical Society of Orange County?
Just for clarification, instead of geological.
Yeah. Depends on if they're looking at rocks.
Yeah, looking at rocks. That does appear to be a misprint there. So if we could,
that was my comment.
Okay, if we could have that taken care of then. Anyone else? Make any comments about the minutes? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of June 3rd, 2021?
I'll make a motion, Chair Green.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Tam. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Hernandez. Okay, let us proceed then to a vote on that, please.
Vice Chair Bent?
Aye.
Chair Granito?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Tam?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Let's see. Are there any public comments to be entertained today? Seeing none, let's go ahead and move on. Correspondence. Anna, were there any questions or comments from the public that's been received recently?
There were not.
Okay, thank you. We will now proceed to matters presented by staff, and we will begin with the director's report by Director Lixie, please.
Thank you, Chair Granito. First, I want to mention our council chambers have been remodeled, so you can all see how nice it looks. We will be getting some training for some more advanced features. Tonight, we're just using the microphones and you have your screens, but the advanced features will include voting, so you'll be able to vote, as well as a digital view of the agenda and staff reports on your monitors. So moving forward, after we get the training, you won't need to bring your digital copy. And if you'd still like a paper copy, certainly we can provide that to you, but it'll all be on your screen and be digital. And so training should be before our October meeting. And then I wanted to report on online payments. So after some delays, online payments are scheduled for install on September 29th. So we're really excited. We really wanted to get this up and running because we do have patrons regularly asking us about paying fines or their fees online. We just got a question a couple of days ago or a request to do that. So this will be really convenient for our patrons. I also wanted to mention that starting September 7th, fines for all library materials returned late will be 20 cents. After some feedback from the public, staff made the recommendation to charge 20 cents for all items, regardless of their perceived value of the item. Currently, DVDs and Library of Things items, their overdue fees are a dollar. So if we think about a $60 ukulele, which in the past it had been a dollar, and a $60 audiobook, 20 cents. So this way, or if you think about a $10 DVD versus a $25 book, DVDs were a dollar. I think that's a throwback to when DVDs cost a lot and we couldn't get a lot of them. But books are more than that. We know that. So just making it 20 cents will be easier on everyone. So patrons will receive overdue notices. They'll still keep doing that and will be charged full replacement costs for lost or damaged items. So that has not changed. So that'll start on Tuesday, September 7th. So programming, so next week we, as we continue our return to pre-pandemic programming, I'm happy to announce that Children's particularly will be resuming their story times in the Storytime Theater and the Library Community Room. So following the state's guidelines, and we're basically going off the guidelines that they have for schools, which is also in line with what the Parks and Rec Department does as well. Masks will be mandated for those attending that are 2 years and older. So an alternative to these programs is an outside story time on the community room terrace where masks are not required. So that's an alternative we will offer for that. So room rentals, I wanted to update you on that as well. So staff continues to make the community room, to work to make the community room and Olinda conference room available for rent by the public. We're just having some, we use the same system or using the same system that the Parks and Rec Department does called ActiveNet, so it'll all be there. So we're really trying to load everything in and get that all ready. The spaces themselves are about 99% ready. So it's just this back end scheduling that we need to get taken care of. So within the coming weeks, we should be opening up rentals for both the Olinda conference room, so that's the conference room on the second floor, as well as the community room. And I think most of you have seen the community room and know that it's a really, really lovely space. So more good things coming, lockers. I have reported on this for several meetings throughout the year, and tonight I'm excited to report that installation will take place on September 15th. And shortly thereafter, patrons will be able to use that as a pickup location. So if you'll remember, the lockers were there. So at 24/7, you could pick up your books. Or if you don't want to come into the library, you're in a rush, they're almost like Amazon lockers. I don't know if any of you have used Amazon lockers for pickups. They're pretty much like that. And you put your library card in, you get your books, and you can go. So there were some supply chain issues with that that has really has been causing a lot of delays on that. And then we're coordinating with our IT department, so it'll work flawlessly for our patrons.
I'm surprised you're getting them this early, so that's really good.
Yeah, they're about 9 months late. Mm-hmm. So
does that also include the lockers with the Historical Society out on the East End, or is that just the library lockers?
Those lockers at the annex have not been functioning properly. They're very, very old. So that's not, and we haven't had a lot of demand for those. So we've not started those back up. Those are pretty low tech.
Yeah.
These are going to be the high tech version of them. So we'll see how they do, and if it's warranted, we can try to find some money in our budget for that. But they do these because they're going to be under the library's overhang, for lack of a better term. They have to be enclosed almost from the weather, and if you add one of those portals to it, it just creates more issues. But the lockers themselves, I think, have not been working since. Do you remember, Julie?
Pre-pandemic. Almost.
Pre-pandemic, and it's quite expensive to fix them. So, yeah. And then the last thing I wanted to report on is September is National Library Card Sign-Up Month. Yay! So the library is participating in this. It's an American Library Association national event by giving out branded notepads, our chip clip magnets, click pens, mood pencils, mood rulers to anyone who signs up for a library card this month. Our graphic specialist, Natalie Tran, has created our own theme. So usually ALA puts out a theme each year, but Natalie is amazing, and I think you all know that. So she's created our own unique theme for the library that we can use every year, so we can reuse all of these graphics. And the theme is Choose Your Adventure. So with our 5 library cards to choose from, spark your imagination, discover an adventure, learn new things, explore the unknown, and create the unexpected. The Yorba Linda Public Library is your ticket to everything. So that's my report. Does anybody have any questions for me?
I was curious about the late charge, the late charges as a parent of a kid who seems to get them because she doesn't turn her manga books back in on time. I was just curious about how much we spend on mailing the notices out every year, because I think that I don't know how much the library has to pay for postage.
Yeah, so there's a lot of costs to actually incurring fines. So I don't know if you may already know this, but a lot of libraries are going fine-free, so completely fine-free. And when they've started to study this, one of the things is that the cost of collecting fines is expensive. And so the mailers, staff time, credit card fees, collection agency fees, all of that wraps up into it. I don't have that specific number.
Oh, no, I'm
number,
not asking you. I'm not expecting. Oh, come on. You should have that in your head memorized, Gary.
But I can get that for you.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm just curious because, you know, if we're charging 20 cents, but it's costing us, you know, 60 cents to every mailing we're doing out there to those people, then it's just like, I'm just curious about what that break even is, plus the labor of making the mailing.
Yeah, we've really tried to push folks for an email notice.
Yeah.
So we really are hoping to do that. I don't know. I hate to put our new manager on the spot, but you don't know, do you, Ken?
So usually for the collection agency fees, it's between $5,000 and $7,000 annually for that. We just migrated about 4,000 people over from phone notification to email notification.
Mm-hmm.
There's still about 8,000 that don't have a notification in the system. So they would go to print, so, you know, 10, 15 every day that we were mailing out, plus staff time that's incurred, not only in sending the notices, but, you know, contacting anyone who by email or by phone. So there's a lot of staff time involved with that, and then working with the collection agency. And you send someone to collections, it doesn't affect their credit anymore, so it doesn't really have the impact that it used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most recently, LA County Public Library has gotten rid of all their fines, Los Angeles Public Library, San Francisco Public Library, and hundreds of other libraries. So they've all seen that there's a significant amount of staff costs. And it's, you know, it's not an equitable service by charging fines. And it really deters people from coming back into the library and using what supposedly is supposed to be a free resource.
I'm sorry, did you say it's not equitable?
It's not equitable.
How?
Yeah. It keeps a lot of disadvantaged people, residents, from coming back to the library.
Mm-hmm.
They can easily be blocked. So right now the settings in our ILS block anyone who owes us $10 or more.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not able to come in and check out materials, so they're not able to use the library as a resource in their community, and a lot of times it keeps those residents from coming back to the library and using all of our resources, study rooms, databases, you know, coming into story times, and it just deters them from coming
okay,
in.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I would disagree, but I won't debate you on that. Yeah, I think if the late fee is applied evenly to everybody and people have the option to turn their stuff in on time, then that's very equitable. But okay, and then beyond that, so it sounds like there's a lot to it as far as collecting fines and fees and that sort of thing. And do people have to opt in for that notification, or can we just sign them up to get emailed automatically? Or is the issue that we don't have all the addresses for all of our members?
Yeah, we don't have email addresses in their accounts for all of our members.
Okay.
So, you know, and some of older patrons don't use email.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Sure. I had a question as well. In terms of the use of the events lawn on the facility for holding library events, is that something we've been doing regularly?
Actually, we have not held any events on the events lawn. Mm-hmm. So the events lawn is actually tied to the dance studio.
Okay.
And is really managed by the Parks and Rec Department, Parks mm-hmm. and Recreation Department. But staff are exploring that as an option. We're reaching out to that department to find out the availability on it, and then essentially what we need in order to have programs there. But it is a space, an outdoor space, programming space that is available to us, and we're researching that right
okay.
now.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous space, especially with the cafe lights out there in the
yeah.
evening as well. And so it's great that we're investigating the possibility of using that for later events. So thank you.
Director Lixie, I did have one question. You mentioned that the Storytime Theater is going to be used again. Are reservations still going to be required?
Yes.
Ongoing until?
Yes, and in the past they had been required. I think, you know, Lucy could probably talk to that a little bit more, but essentially we've always required sign-ups for that because we don't want those story times to get too large. Now we have required sign-ups and a capacity for everything at this point just because of our situation that we're in. And I think even the terrace, even though we're outside that, obviously that space is smaller than, say, something like the events lawn, so we do have to limit how many people can be there.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Director Lixie? If not, let's move on to the third item in the agenda, and that is the Assistant Director's Report. And Assistant Director Zioli.
Thank you, Chair Granito. So the Commission has with them the circulation statistical reporting for the months of May, June, July, and program statistics for June, July, and as of today, August. Circulation statistics have seen a steady increase over the last several months, with a higher jump in material circulation from June to July. In fact, the total number of items circulated, we saw a 16% increase from May to June and a 17% increase from June to July. There was a 57% increase in foot traffic through the library as well from May to June, and a 32% increase in that foot traffic from June to July. Also, as many of you know, we did open up our study rooms during the month of May. So from May to June, we experienced a 114% increase in usage, and then from June to July, a 51% increase. As a side note, study room usage has been incredibly popular, high demand. I think Commissioner Hernandez has used our study rooms. I've seen him in there using our study rooms. We just know that it's going to continue to be popular. Obviously, we had an increase in the amount of study rooms from the old building to this building. So it's been extremely well received by the community, all the study rooms that we have available. We also saw a greater increase in materials usage during the summer months, and particularly the summer reading program being implemented again this year. During the month of June, we allocated additional funds to the digital book collection, as noted in the amount of items that were added during that month. Additionally, we experienced a large jump in alternative lending collection items as our literacy kits became available, as well as our seed lending library during the summer months. So as you guys know, our summer reading program kicked off in the middle of June. Participants could sign up online. We have Lucy and Jessica here to really talk in detail a little bit more of some of those outputs from the summer reading program. Beginning the week of June 21st, we also started special story times, as Director Lixie noted in her report, and they were held on the community room terrace. Programs included Bounces and Giggles, Wild and Wacky Story Times, Adventures Together for Families. We also brought back our monthly Pajama-rama, as well as some STEAM activities for children, including drawing workshops and science demos. Librarians also put together events for teens and adults during the summer months. Activities for teens in June and July included DIY craft nights, gaming tactics for online role-playing games as well. For adults, we also did some DIY craft days and nights. We also returned our very popular Ancestor Answers program, which is that genealogy program Commissioner Tam was referring to, with the assistance of some local volunteers from the local genealogical society. And we also held a virtual small business workshop as well. During the summer months, we also welcomed back our teen volunteers this summer to assist with various activities at the library, including helping to shelve items, as well as assist at some of the events. From June to July, teen volunteers contributed more than 1,000 hours to the library, so we're very happy to have them back assisting us. Passport services continue to be very popular as well, and we're seeing high demand for appointments. During the week of July 12th, we actually expanded our passport services to include availability now on Fridays. Looking ahead, we are planning to have additional library clerks trained as passport agents. There's a little backup, as you've probably heard in the news, on passport services, issuing passports, and even the training of agents. But we are looking to train more agents in order to hopefully further expand passport services as well. As previously reported in other commission meetings, the library received a $12,000 grant from the state library to implement virtual programs for youth. This last month, the month of August, we actually wrapped up the grant, and I'm happy to report that staff executed a total of 27 events with almost 900 attendees at all of those events. The grant also allowed us to purchase materials that we'll be able to utilize post-grant cycle, including hardware and software for computers as well as computers, and ways to enhance our alternative lending collection. The librarians put together some makey-makey inventor kits, some calligraphy kits, and watercolor calligraphy kits that will go into our alternative lending collection and circulate for the public. Over the last several months, we also received a $7,000 grant from the state library, which helped us in the allocation of hotspots and Chromebooks for public use. A total of 6 hotspots were made available for public checkout at the beginning of August, so they're currently in circulation. They check out for a 10-day period, and right now they are all checked out with a wait list. By all means, get through the library catalog and get your name on the list for a hotspot if you're going camping or something like that. Towards the end of August, we were also able to put together our Chromebooks for circulation. We currently have 2 Chromebooks available, as well as 4 Chromebook kits, which include a Chromebook and a hotspot. So again, for public use and checkout. The Chromebooks will circulate for a three-week loan, and additional details on circulation parameters for both the hotspots and Chromebooks are available on our website under the Library of Things. Looking ahead, we have fall events planned for all ages at the library. This includes age-specific story times, the return of our annual and very popular Exposed Art and Literature contest for teens, as well as some additional DIY events and small business workshops for adults. Teen advisory board applications are now being accepted, and we will close those applications on Saturday, September 11th. Applications can be found on our website as well. We've also welcomed back our Book a Librarian service, where library users needing assistance with technology-related topics can book a 30-minute appointment with a librarian to receive some one-on-one assistance. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I just have one question. On the Book the Librarian 30-minute appointment, what's the typical appointment length? If they book them for a half an hour, do people usually take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or what do you think the average is?
I'd say it's closer to the 30.
Really?
Jessica,
wow.
Wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, a lot of what we get is I've gotten a new tablet, right? So how do I download your OverDrive app, right?
Okay.
I just got a new laptop. My kids just bought me a new laptop, so can you help me to learn all of the buttons and everything like that? Occasionally, we'll get people that do need help with creating an email. That's obviously slowed down, but I'd say it usually lasts about 30 minutes.
And then we still do the service where you help people if they like an author and they like a book, then you help them find the comparable books.
Absolutely.
And stuff that they would like. Is that something they would book a librarian for, or is that something they could do separately?
Well, that's something that we do on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
At our information desk. But we also have a service online, too, that they can go online on our website. It's called Discover Your Next Great Read.
Okay.
So if you go to our website, under one of the – I think it's under the services link. It's called Discover Your Next Great Read. And it's just an online form that folks can fill out. And we will match them, it asks various questions, what they've read before, what they've liked, and we'll have our librarians go through. And usually, I'd say within a week, we respond back with a list of either suggested titles or authors.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. A couple days even. Yeah.
Like in a day,
right. Great, thank you.
Anyone else have any questions for Assistant Director?
Yeah, I had a question. I know you mentioned the hotspots. Is that something we're going to see on the report soon, or am I missing that? I don't expect it to be there yet.
Yeah, we just started circulating them. So in next month, you don't have the circulation statistics for August. So at next month's commission meeting, you'll see the circulation statistics for the additional. It'll just fall under our alternative lending collection itemized line. So you'll start to see even a few more statistics there, because I probably safe to say that things like the calligraphy kits are going to circulate pretty well too.
Right. And I'm sorry, I missed how many hotspots you said.
So we have a total of 6 hotspots, like just hotspots. So if you just wanted to check out a hotspot,
right,
we have 6 hotspots, and then we have Chromebook kits, which also include a hotspot. So
that
if you needed a Chromebook and a hotspot, you could check that out together.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Commissioner.
I did have a question. I noticed on the program statistics under the adult test off-site programs. I'm curious of what programs those consist of in the past.
So in the past, what we've done off-site could have included some outreach to local businesses. More notably, pre-pandemic, we did, the assisted living center, Sunrise, right next to us. We would go once a month to that assisted living center, and we actually do plan on going back.
September
14th is our next. It's just, with the pandemic, obviously, we weren't allowed to go in. But what we would do is send a librarian over there once a month, bring books, and so we would check out those materials remotely to the residents inside that assisted living center. So that's what that would include. That's kind of our regular outreach, and yeah, we've just been able to get back in there and start to work with them. Even though they're right next to us, there is some mobility issues, so we want to continue that relationship. Thank you.
Weren't you also doing events at Bristol Farms for a while?
So we were. So that was.
But I mean, that would count under that category.
Well, that would probably fall under teen. Our
okay.
teen librarian
oh,
was
okay.
doing that. She yes, and that was another thing that was kind of pre-pandemic. Off-site programs or outreach programs. Our teen librarian, right, when we were in the old building, obviously pre-pandemic, when Bristol Farms opened, I can't remember if she reached out to them or they reached out to us, but they wanted us to do some on-site story times. You know, they have like that front patio area. And so I think we were going over there about once a month and doing some story times. And actually our teen advisory board were the ones that were conducting the story times. So it was kind of a neat thing for them to be able to do off-site as well. And then we also used to go out to local schools, too. I know Lucy, obviously, for the children's outreach, would go to local schools quite a bit throughout the year, and so did our teen librarian. Hopefully, we'll be able to restart that at some point in the near future.
I had a question as well. I was wondering now may or may not be the correct time to become involved in this, but I was wondering if the library has considered reaching out to the local movie theater in the town center about an off-site event as well.
Yeah, that was actually pre-pandemic. We were hoping maybe that once the theater opened and everything, we'd be able to, do something like our teen film festival there. Obviously, this was pre-new building and all of that good stuff. But, it potentially could be. I do know this year we are actually going to be offering our teen film festival inside the Arts Black Box Theater. So we're going to utilize their wonderful space, their theater-style seating. I actually just talked to Valerie, who heads the Arts Center, yesterday regarding this. And, we have some wonderful space on site now that we never had before that we're going to probably look to utilize first. But it's definitely a possibility, looking at some other opportunities and other partnerships we can create with local businesses.
Okay, thank you so much. I had one more quick question, and that was with regards to the Teen Advisory Board and when final decisions were going to be made concerning the installation of that board.
Yes, so applications are due September 11th. Our goal is after that, I think within about a week, to host interviews for the students and make our selections from there. I will note, though, depending on how many applications we get by September 11th, we may or may not extend the due date, which would then potentially push out appointments. But our goal would be to have all those applications in by September 11th, review them within a couple weeks, interview the students, make our selections and have those appointments ideally by the beginning of October.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, because when the board is installed, I think I may have mentioned this in a previous meeting, but I certainly would like to, you know, give an invitation to the Teen Advisory Board to attend one of our commission meetings.
Yes, we would definitely love that and potentially maybe have a commissioner. I know I was talking to Commissioner Hernandez, I think, just a couple of weeks ago about this, and even having a member of the commission attend, some of their meetings as well, just so we can kind of create that relationship and have a better understanding of the two boards.
Okay, thank you so much. Any more questions?
Just to tag on to what you were asking about, the Team Advisory Board, what are our typical application numbers and how many people are actually selected for the board? And does the board size vary based on discretion of you or?
Yeah, so traditionally, the way the Teen Advisory Board ran the application period would essentially, appointments would run September through August, so pretty much the school year. We would do recruitments pretty much in May during the school year and have that board selected and essentially seated by June, July, and then have them appointed beginning at the 1st of September. In years past, we've had anywhere from, I'd say, 12 to 15 members on the board. Of course, it's been about a year and a half since we've had a teen advisory board due to the pandemic. So we aren't sure, a lot of those kids would return previous years. So we would make them all reapply to show their interest and to show their dedication to the board. But we would have this group kind of set with an established audience, if you will, that would return. So a lot of those kids have aged out, they've graduated. So we'll see. I mean, our hope would be, I would say, at least 12 to sit on the teen advisory board. We also want it to be a manageable number for our librarian. They do conduct meetings help to run all of the teen events as well. So
do they meet formally like once a month or every other month?
Yep.
Or
yep. Okay. Once a month. They do have a formal meeting once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the expectation as well for this board, is they would formally meet once a month and attend teen events on Tuesdays or other days of the week.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Assistant Director Zilli? Seeing none, let's go ahead and move on to presentations and introduction of new staff member by Director Lixie.
Right, so we already called on Ken Holmesley, who is our new borrower services manager. He began his position on Monday, August 2nd, so we've had him a month, I think. So 4 weeks so far.
So we're going to keep him.
I think we're going to keep him. He received his master's degree in library and information studies from the University of Alabama in 2002, and he also holds a master's degree in history. Most recently, he was the Adult Services Division Manager at Fullerton Public Library. There, he provided leadership for various departments, including circulation, technical, adult, and digital services. Ken has experience in managing collections and budgets, overseeing integrated library systems, including the cataloging and acquisition of materials, planning and presenting library programs, and training, developing, and reviewing the work of staff across various departments. His robust experience in public, academic, and private libraries. So all three will be a great asset to our organization, and we are excited to have Ken on board. So welcome, Ken.
It's a good hire. Roll Tide.
Fullerton's loss is our gain. I had the opportunity to meet Ken a couple weeks ago, and I want to say that I very much enjoyed that, very much impressive CV that you have. I know you'll make a great contribution to the Yorba Linda Public Library, so thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item on presentation, and that's the 2021 Summer Reading Program by staff members Jessica Young and Lucy Salvato.
You'll notice
that's so fancy.
I know, right? It does go up a little bit. Just takes a little while. So this year, our summer reading theme was Reading Colors Your World. We had great participation this year with 4,199 participants across all age levels.
For our adult summer reading program, we saw an increase of 47% participation with a total of 1,115 adults registered. This is actually our highest recorded total registration for adults across all the years. Participation was high with 3,921 books being logged by adults. This is a 116% increase from last year, or double what the adults read. A few of our most popular titles, because it keeps track of that, is Malibu Rising, The Midnight Library, and People We Met on Vacation. When looking at the levels that adults reached, you can see that adults reached each level more than the previous year, with 164 adults completing the program at 8 books, which is where we traditionally held it, or reading more than the 8 books and continuing on. We invited adults and teens to add color to their senses and complete some missions. For every 3 missions they completed, they got an extra 250 points or 2 grand prize raffle tickets. Some of the missions included taking a book face photo, becoming a backyard astronomer, taking a musical adventure with our database Freegle, creating a nature mandala, and catching their pet reading, which was very popular, and saying hello to language learning with Rosetta Stone. And as you can see, our adults had a lot of fun with it, and 347 missions were completed. This summer, we started in-person programming in our brand new DIY studio for adults. We held 14 programs, and these included 2 craft-to-go kits, which were very popular, multiple Zen Mandela sessions, Ancestry Answers, as Julie stated earlier, and mosaic classes, with a total of 268 participants. For our teen summer reading program, we also saw a huge increase in participation, with 101% increase, or 324 teens who had signed up. This is compared to 161 registrants last year. Teens read 1,831 books, which is a huge increase of 161% from last year, with 77 teens reading 8 or more books and completing the program. A few of the most popular teen titles were Booked, The Fifth Wave, and Outsiders, which is an oldie but goodie. Teens were also invited to complete 3 missions, adding color to their senses. And the missions were not only a great way to have fun and be creative, but to also learn. So I did include 2 quotes from teens about what they learned. So you can see the Rosetta Stone. They had to learn how to say hello in 3 different languages. And then for our Freegle mission, taking a musical adventure, we asked them to listen to a music genre that they hadn't listened to before. I chose the Celtic one, but the K-pop was very, very popular and was on multiple comments. As Julie mentioned earlier, we did receive a $12,000 Library Services Technology Virtual Youth Programming. Most of our programs for teens this summer were done with funds from this grant. We added a lot of new technology to the library for programming, including 2 laptops, 2 GoPros, an Elmo, as well as MakeyMake kits. So I did bring MakeyMake kits so you could see it. Not only did we add 5 circulating ones, but we have 20 to use in-house for programming. So over the summer, we actually had them check it out so we could do it via Zoom. But now moving forward, we can do them in person for students of all ages. And this programming equipment will not only have helped us over the summer, but we'll be using for programs to come. We held 9 programs for teens and had 48 participants. Some of the programs included DIY nights, some Dungeons and Dragons, as well as a cooking demo. We were able to give out 180 prizes to teens and adults across the summer. We had weekly prizes, which were $5 Starbucks gift cards. We gave out 10 each week to adults and 10 each week to our teens, as well as we had 10 grand prizes for each age level, and these included gift cards, a calculator for teens, Kindle Fires, AirPods, and this wouldn't have been possible without the Friends of the Library donation for us to be able to purchase these, as well as we received donations from businesses, local businesses, for gift cards, as well as monetary donations. And they are wonderful incentives to get our teens and adults reading. Definitely the AirPods were the most popular across both age levels, followed by the Kindles. Our main goal this summer for adults and teens was to increase reading by 20%. I'm happy to say that we far exceeded this goal this year with an average of 131% between the two programs. And that's teen and adult. Did you have any questions before I pass it along to Lucy? Yeah.
I have one question. You, when you were talking about the teen technology, you mentioned Elmo. I don't know what that
is. So it's an Elmo, pretty much a camera. They use it a lot in schools. It's a horizontal camera, so faces down. So for our brush lettering class, you can actually see the instructor writing and doing it.
Okay, I know what you're talking
so
about.
I wanted to bring that one, but without really seeing it in action, it doesn't really compute. But brush lettering, you can actually see the hands and how it works, and normally used in schools. Okay.
That's really outstanding. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Good evening. Now for the children's information. So the Children's Summer Reading Program is broken down into two groups. There's a kids program for kids ages 5 to 12 and a pre-K version for children 4 and younger. We were not up to our regular numbers pre-COVID, but both programs were very, very successful. The kids program had 2,201 kids who signed up. These are the different reading levels that they've reached. Our numbers more than tripled compared to last year, so that was very exciting. Participants read almost 28,000 hours, which is awesome. So parents tell us all the time that they appreciate the incentives, that they truly make a difference in how much they read. We were fortunate to have some smaller prizes like pencils and mazes and sports balls left over from previous years. And we also secured a very large donation of Disney and Pixar toys. So we had some really awesome prizes. I brought a few just to show you. They were nice, large prizes, some Star Wars toys. So the kids were very excited to earn some of these toys. Over 5,000 prizes were given away, and 279 were larger goodie bags. For the pre-K program, they had 559 participants. Again, numbers tripled compared to last year. And we also saw a higher rate of children reaching the last level, so they continued the reading program and finished it. In total, they read 18,618 books, which is super awesome. Over 1,400 prizes were given away, as well as 93 raffle prizes. So this is a picture of our prize table where participants came in to pick up prizes. Overall, the summer reading program was very, very successful. Many parents told us they appreciate us offering the reading program and how important it was to their family. One of my favorite quotes was from Logan's mom, and I included it on there. It says, "I brought Logan in to pick up his prizes, and he was ecstatic. I could tell he felt a sense of accomplishment as well." And it was very sweet. She emailed us this with a picture of him super excited holding his prizes. One mom said, "What an amazing experience. Thank you for providing the reading incentives for children. It motivates my kids to read during their downtime. Thanks from a new library, or from a new Yorba Linda library fan." Another parent said, "I can't tell you how grateful our family is to have our wonderful library and staff open again. We love our library and the reading program." So currently, right now, kids are picking up raffle prizes. I brought a couple just to show you. Raffle prizes can include books, hardback books that we've gotten donated, and larger toys. This is one of my favorites, our mini. Stickers, smaller toys, food coupons. So we have a lot of great raffle prizes that we're currently giving out that the kids are still picking up. Not only did we offer the summer reading program, but we also offered outdoor story times and programs for babies through eighth grade. We had over 1,700 participants attend 40 children's programs over the summer. So that's amazing, especially during a pandemic. It's an average of 44 people at each program. This is a picture of our family story time on Saturday mornings. We bought mats so that they would be comfortable sitting outside. We picked a time where it was mostly shaded, and it was early before the sun came out and got hot, and they really enjoyed our programs. Staff often hear how much families love the programs. One mom said, "Our entire family looks forward to your programs and story times." And one dad, who it was his first time coming, because he normally works, he travels for work, so he's not around as much, and he's currently working from home. And he said, "What an amazing experience." He didn't realize how much goes into story time, so it was really nice to hear that from one of our dads. We truly know we're making a difference, not only in children's lives, but their whole family's lives. This is little Gracie. Gracie has been coming to our babies and toddlers story time with Miss Amy, and it was very sweet. Mom shared with us that she decided to play library, but before she could do that, she needed to make a name tag. So she asked, "How do you spell Miss Amy?" So if you look closely, she made a name tag that says Miss Amy, and she presented her own story time along with displaying books in the back, because we always display books at the end of story time. So she wanted to make sure she included that. And so we know we're really making a difference in people's lives, but when we hear stories like this or receive pictures like this, it really melts our hearts and enforces the benefits that we're bringing to our community. So that is it for our summer programs. Any questions about the children's programs?
No, I just wanted to make a comment. Thank you, Lucy, for all the hard work that you guys put in the program. You know, growing up in Yorba Linda, I also participated in the summer reading program when I was a kid, and I used to look forward to it every single year. And I put my kids through it too, and every year they look forward to it, and they love the prizes. And I think they got one of the shiny Mickey and Minnie ones, and they're bouncing around the house with it. So, yeah. But again, I want to, you know, extend the appreciation from my family that for your dedication and
thank you.
Great programming that the library.
Thank you. I'll be sure to share that with children's staff.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not a question, just a comment again as well. I just wanted to echo Commissioner Tam's comments about, one, fantastic presentations, so professional, and I love the new setup here in the City Council so we can see these presentations. But, you know, definitely the summer reading program has always been a signature program for not just the Yorba Linda Public Library, but also for the city of Yorba Linda. And it's amazing to see the program grow and grow. It's evolved over the years, but it's also grown tremendously with no end in sight, as far as I'm concerned. I'm just amazed at that. And so, again, you know, thank you both, and thank you to the entire staff for all the work that they put in, all the hard work that they put in. So thank you.
Thank you. I will be sure to share your comments. And I know Julie mentioned we were able to bring back volunteers, which is something that the community really looks forward to. So we were excited to be able to give high school students the opportunity to volunteer over the summer. And we started the school year program already and have over 50 applications in already.
I just want to say I'm always blown away by the caliber of the prizes and everything that you all put together, because I know even though they're basically donated for free, you have to work to get all those donations and convince people that they want to support this program. And it just always amazes me, because you look at the caliber of these prizes and it's like Christmas, but it's a lot better because people have to earn it, you know, and they do have that sense of accomplishment. And so it is an extraordinary thing that they definitely see those prizes and they want to work towards those and they want to read And then they find out, whoops, now I like reading. What happened? You know, I was just going for the prize, but now I like reading. No. So I really appreciate all the work that you do. It's always extraordinary, and I always love seeing everything, all the success. So congratulations on tripling your numbers this year.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's see. Next on the agenda, we're continuing with presentations. And a report from the Your Belinda Friends board meeting, which I will be giving myself. Let me get set up here. I attended the last Friends board meeting, which was on, if I believe, July 21st of this year, was the meeting. And there were some statistics that I wanted to share that was just amazing in terms of the growth of the Friends and what the Book Corner has accomplished, even in the short couple of months that we've been open. One statistic I thought I would share was in terms of the membership statistics for the Your Belinda Friends. Last year in 2020, the average was about 308 members to the actual members, where this year they are already up to 384. So there has been a really nice, gigantic jump in terms of membership, which is very much appreciated. Another statistic that really kind of stood out, that kind of amazed me, had to do with the transfer of monies from the Book Corner to the Friends. They had established, you know, based upon certain data, they had a budget concerning how much money would be actually transferred from the Book Corner to the Friends. And actually, that yearly budget was met by June, halfway through the year. So they actually revised their budget in terms of the transference of money and revised it threefold in terms of the amount of money that they think they're going to be garnering from the Book Corner. So that is just amazing in terms of the growth that the Friends has gone through as well. And then I also wanted to mention, maybe we can get a report on this during our next meeting, but there was an end of summer clearance sale that was held on Saturday, August 28th. So maybe during the next meeting we can find out. I'm sure it was a success. Commissioner Tam, maybe you already have numbers about that.
Maybe I can help you provide some of those numbers. So I did talk with Desiree after the sale, and she had mentioned that typical Saturdays in August, they were averaging about $170 in the Book Corner, and they took in about $300 more over that one-day period. And so staff in the Book Corner were constantly reshelving, which was a good thing, so they were able to clear out inventory. And they closed on Monday, the 30th, after that, so that they were able to restock the shelves. So it was a success. Yeah, it was definitely a success.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can't think of, for instance, you know, any other organization that has been so helpful for the programs here at the Your Belinda Library, especially for the summer reading programs as well as other programs that they are highly invested in. I mean, we definitely owe a great deal to the Your Belinda Friends and, you know, and their continued support for us as well.
Can I ask you guys, I'm sure they're very happy about their new location. I wanted to know if you could speak to that and how that typical $170 Saturday compares to the old Saturday. It was at the old library in the basement. How are they doing now compared to the old days? And are they very happy with their location? Is there anything going well, not going well?
No, I think that from the times I've volunteered, you know, a lot of the community has said, oh, weren't you guys in the basement before? Yeah, we're now literally in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of folks were really happy about the, you know, the lighting. When we were in the basement, it was dark, you know, but now we got all this natural light coming in. Everybody was really happy about it. So, you know, the facilities are great.
And if I may, I know anecdotally that they are getting a lot of people that didn't know they were existed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. Their membership is even further up from what Chair Granito reported. And they are working hard and have a lot of volunteers. They actually had to stop taking volunteers because so many people wanted to volunteer with them. So they're a very popular organization right now, and I think that I don't know the numbers for, like, Saturdays from the previous library, but I think we all anticipate that they are going to bring in more revenue. And then I think the only other drawback that they've had is that some people think that they're an extension of the library,
mm-hmm.
so they don't want to pay for the books. They just want to check the books out from the Friends. But otherwise, no, I mean, it's a lot of people are discovering them, and they're busy. They're busy.
Yeah, we thought that would be the case. I just wanted to ask and see how everything is going. I remember we can't remember what it was, but when they were building the building and calculating the space, it was like, this spot for the Friends is going to be an extra $2 million or whatever it was, you know. But it's really exciting to see that they're successful, and it's exactly like we thought they would be by having the added visibility and
yeah, that's the location,
and everything.
Location. Mm-hmm. That's the best spot where everybody sees, and that's how folks discover the Bull Corner and the Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the citizens of Yorba Linda have been amazing in terms of anecdotally, it was recorded in the meeting about how when people are buying the books, that they then will leave also an extra few dollars in donation as well.
Yeah.
So that is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Okay, and then also I wanted to mention that the next meeting for the Friends is coming up. Let me take a look here. September 15th. Oh, and the meetings are being held now in the Yorba Linda Library Conference Room at 5:30 in the afternoon. So I want to open that up to any of the commissioners if they wanted to attend. Again, the meeting is on September 15th, so coming up in just a couple short weeks in the Yorba Linda Library Conference Room at 5:30. If you want to, you can contact me or Director Lixie later on if you'd like to attend.
I can attend, but I don't know if anybody else wants to. And what day is the State of the City? Like, that's in October, right?
October.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if it's going to be, correlate with that day, but okay.
It's the week after,
okay. So I mean, I'd be happy to attend this one if you'd like me to. And I don't know, we could always have two people too, right?
Yeah, we could have two people.
No more than two, certainly.
Okay. And it's the upstairs conference room?
Yep.
Okay.
Which is a beautiful conference room. It's a nice place to have that.
I mean, I've gone to the meeting over Zoom, but I'd love to go in person, so I'd be happy to go as well.
You can go. You want to go to this one? I mean, I don't need to go, but I'll go if you don't want to. Do you want to do this one?
Sure, I'll do it, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to be stuck in at school sometimes after. So.
No problem, okay.
And I just wanted to add that I will not be at this meeting, and Jessica Young, who you saw tonight, she'll be attending in my place, giving my report. And so she knows, Alex, to send that information over to
Great.
You.
Okay, thank you very much. That ends our presentations. Now we move to action items, and there is one action item. In everybody's packet, you should have received a Library Commission memo regarding the appointment of a Library Commissioner representative to the Citizen of the Year Committee. If you don't have the memo with you, I'm going to go ahead and read the recommendation and the background. Library staff is requesting one representative to serve on the Citizen of the Year Committee. The committee will meet for dinner at Black Gold to discuss and review the nominations and then select a 2021 Citizen of the Year. The selection committee dinner meeting is scheduled for Monday, September 20th, if anyone is free, from 6 to 8 p.m. Just a little bit more background information. I served a couple of years ago. I think Vice Chair Bench served twice, two or three times recently.
Yeah, years ago and then last year, but it was over Zoom. The Black Gold never happened because of the pandemic. So it may not happen this year, too. It's hard to say. But yeah, so I will not be throwing my name in the hat for this year because it's somebody else's turn for sure.
Yeah, the Citizen of the Year is certainly a very prestigious honor within the city of Yorba Linda. There certainly is recognition of them, and it's really wonderful to participate because some of the other representatives you see are those from some of the other commissions, from the Parks and Rec, Traffic Commission, for instance, and so it gives you a real opportunity to kind of meet your fellow commissioners, and then, of course, the meeting is chaired by the mayor of Yorba Linda as well. So let's see, I guess we can start with, would anyone like to attend this for us? Either nominating yourself or a nomination for someone else.
And just to let you know, we're going
to
rotate. We're all going
to
do it
at some point.
But we definitely want, since you two are here, one of you two are doing it this time, if you're available.
I actually might have a conflict, so if you're sure you can go, then I'm happy to.
Yeah, again, the scheduled dinner to review the nominations is Monday, September 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. Commissioner Tam, if you're able to make that.
Yeah, it looks like my schedule is open for that day, so if there's no objections, I can attend.
Okay. Since this is an action item, are there any other nominations to attend? If not, do I hear a motion for Commissioner Tam to be the representative to the Citizens of the Year Committee?
I'll motion to have Commissioner Tam represent us.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hernandez. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair Bent. I guess we'll proceed with the roll call.
Vice Chair Bent?
Aye.
Chair Granito?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Tam?
Aye.
And real quick, before we move on from that, I just want to mention that what they'll do is they'll mail you a packet of the nominees.
Yes.
I usually mail it to your house. It could be electronic, but you'll see people's nomination forms, their resumes, whatever is included in the nomination packet. A lot of people, you know, they don't nominate themselves. So it's kind of what the people nominated them, what they provided. And it's always a very tough decision, and you act as an advisor to the mayor, and it's ultimately the mayor's decision. So they could bypass everybody and say, no, it's this person, you know. But they definitely take the advice and input from all the commissioners that are involved, and you'll have a really good time doing it. So.
Thank you, Vice Chair Bent.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's see. We'll now go to matters presented by commissioners. Are there any matters to bring forward by any of you?
I just wanted to mention that me and Commissioner Tam had the great opportunity of going to the Serving for Purpose conference just the other day, and I know we thoroughly both enjoyed it and learned a lot. There was one thing amongst a ton of stuff that I'm sure I'll work out eventually, but I'll start with just this one that was mentioned, and I think it was Pasadena Library, one of the commissioners mentioned that one of their social media campaigns was taking pictures of, like, local professionals, firemen, police officers, et cetera, with their favorite book and posting it saying, you know, like, this is how it correlates to my career, this is what I like, and we both thought it was a really cool, simple idea that maybe could be carried on here.
Noted, and I will pass that along to Natalie and our committee.
I always love that because sometimes when you meet leaders, part of their conversation is their favorite books and what they recommend. And one of the speeches that I've attended, actually I've heard her say it twice, is our former Orange County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Sandra Hutchins. And her favorite two books were Good to Great and Lincoln on Leadership. And so I read both of those, and they were both outstanding, you know. But that was something that she used throughout her career to move up the ranks and to lead one of the most successful, you know, sheriff's departments in the world. So it's pretty neat to hear things like that. And so it's a great suggestion. Thank you. I just wanted to mention that in August last month, my family, my wife decided to have our Christmas pictures taken because we always take them in August because our daughter goes off to college now. So it's really weird taking Christmas pictures in the summertime. But this year, my wife selected the world-famous greatest library in the world, the Yorba Linda Public Library, as our site. And so we are out there, out front of the library, or all throughout the library area, when it was closed. And I just want to say that there was a ton of people out there sitting in the chairs and the tables and socializing. There wasn't anything going on in the art center either, and they were just there using the space like we always hoped they would. So that was my story. I just wanted to tell you, it seems like that whole area is being utilized, and it's pretty cool to see because that was what we were hoping. We were hoping that would be an outdoor hangout that would be kind of an extension of the town center. And whether things are open or closed, that people are enjoying the space, and it definitely was pretty crowded there, so it's pretty nice.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Bent. Because certainly I've noticed a lot of people out there as well. At the times I've been out there, I've been noticing a lot of people taking pictures,
mm-hmm.
for instance, out in front of the Misting Rock and in other parts of the campus. And so it is nice to see that you and others are taking advantage of, you know, again, I think we've all said this as commissioners, you know, definitely the focal spot of Yorba Linda, for sure.
Oh, and I want to mention, too, some of them were on laptops, so I imagine they were on their Wi-Fi as well, getting that signal. So just interesting. I wanted to share that with you all because it was just a random night. Everything was closed, but there were people there, you know, so that was a good sign.
Was it a hot day for the Christmas picture?
It was a little warm, but it was in the evening, so it's kind of like the sun was going down, and we had to adjust for where the sun was, but, yeah.
Okay.
It was like a week before my daughter went back to college, so we had to get it done.
Thank you so much.
You know, I want to echo the similar experience. I think last week the symphony was out there in the parking lot and those food trucks, and I took my family there. And again, you know, library's closed, but the, you know, everybody's gathering there. So you could feel that sense of community when you're out there. You know, there's folks that are just enjoying the time. And so it was very nice.
And as we were walking around and taking pictures of the different backgrounds and everything, it was like, and these rocks were picked from a quarry in Nevada.
Handpicked by Director Lee.
So I got to play host a little bit. It's fun.
Fantastic. Any other matters to be brought forward to the commission? If there are not, I'm going ahead and bring the meeting to a close. Let's see, our next regularly scheduled meeting is going to be on Thursday, October 7th, 2021 at 6:30. Otherwise, the meeting is adjourned.